Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Mike McMahon from Pro Wrestling Torch joins me right now. You can catch his work at pwtorch.com and at Torch McMahon on Twitter. All Elite Wrestling is on pay-per-view Saturday night. What are your expectations for AEW on Saturday?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, this is All In was really their launching point, even though they weren't a company yet. But last fall's All In show, I think people are going to look at it as being the genesis of AEW, but this is really their first official show. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because they All In was booked as a one-off show. I think everyone expected it at the time to be a one-off show. This is something where they are beginning, obviously, some long-term storylines. They need to do some booking for the future. It's not just a one-off thing. I mean, there's going to be some time between shows because their TV doesn't start until the fall, but tomorrow is a night where I think they're going to try to establish themselves, and I'm sure try to establish their top guys and what kind of are their main ideas going to be as a company moving forward. So it should be a really interesting night.
Do you think that they are giving away too much on their first show with Kenny Omega versus Jericho, Cody versus Dustin, the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers?
It is a lot, yeah. That is one thought I've had, because it is a lot. I think the Jericho Omega Two, you know, the rematch, yep, is the perfect main event. It's the biggest match they could promote right now. If you're going to debut with something, I think you got to debut with something big. So that one makes sense to me. Some of the other stuff, you know, they could have held off. They could have held off with Cody and Dustin. They could have held off with the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers. Maybe it's something that they think, hey, we're going to have this one show here in May, and then TV's not going to start till probably October, and they've got a couple of shows planned in between then. So maybe they think there's going to be enough time spaced out here that they can book these matches, these kind of premier matches for their company right now, start the company off with a bang, and then TV's not happening for another 5 months. So if they revisit this stuff 5 or 6 months from now, it still feels pretty fresh. You know, it's not going to feel like it's something that was just done. So I think the one thing they could do is they could still revisit some of this stuff in the fourth quarter of this year, once they start TV, and even as they get into next year. It's not necessarily that we're going to see the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers tomorrow night and then have that be it. You know, they're never going to touch again. I think these are going to be the first chapters of some rivalries, with the exception of maybe Jericho Omega. You know, they already wrestled once in New Japan. This could be the closing chapter for those two, at least for now.
Speculate for me, if you would, about what happened with Pac and Hangman Page.
You know, he's the Dragon Gate champion, and from what everyone seems to be is told is he didn't want to lose a match and disrespect that championship, and they didn't want Hangman Page to get beat. So they were kind of stuck at an impasse where, what do you do? Neither guy wants to lose. Hangman Page, I think, is a guy that is going to be a world champion for them down the line at some point. So they didn't want him to get beat. Pac says, hey, you know, this company gave me this title. I don't want to lose on a big pay-per-view show and get pinned clean. You know, what does that do for Dragon Gate? What does that do for their championship? So I think everyone had the right reasons. I think Pac was being, you know, respectful to Dragon Gate, who put their championship on him, and AEW doesn't want to, you know, bury a young guy like Hangman Page in his first match in the company. They don't want him to come out and lose in match number one. So what do they do? They're kind of stuck at that point, right? They could have done a disqualification. They could have done the draw, which is what they ended up doing with the match in the United Kingdom last week. I think what they were worried about is if they were to present that match in front of their audience and have it go to a draw, what if that gets a negative reaction? Because they've been booking the whole idea of their company is wins and losses matter. You're going to see wins and you're going to see winners and losers. To have a big match like that end in a draw in their first pay-per-view could have sent the wrong message. So I think that they just wanted to avoid that on their first show. I'm sure there's going to be, it's a wrestling company. There's going to be draws and disqualifications at some point. But for night number one, you know, I think they wanted to keep it with straight winners and losers. And if the guy that was going to lose couldn't lose or didn't want to lose and they didn't want their guy to lose, then they were kind of stuck and had to do what they had to do. That's what I think happened. And now we'll see what Hangman Page does on this show. I mean, there's been speculation that he's still going to have a match. I don't know. I mean, we can talk about who that might be. There's been a lot of, obviously, speculation online that it could be Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley. I think he's shooting a movie right now, but to get out of shooting for one day wouldn't seem like it would be the end of the world, I wouldn't think. So there's speculation on what he might do. I think whatever he does on the show, it needs to be big because they clearly have big ideas for him. I don't think you want to put him out there against someone that they think is going to be in their mid-card, even if he wins in quick fashion. You know, you want him rubbing elbows with guys that are perceived as stars. So if you don't have the right opponent for him, I mean, I think you just maybe have him cut a promo. You want him on the show in some way, shape, or form. You want his face to be seen. But if you don't think you have the right opponent for him, then I wouldn't have him wrestle at all. But I think there were some rumblings today from what I was reading that the plan is still for him to wrestle someone on the show.
Now my mind gets into fantasy booking, and was Pac versus Hangman Page a potential world title match, or should AEW have Hangman Page pull the number 21 card, win their battle royal, and put him into contention to fight the winner of Jericho versus Kenny Omega if that is going to be the future AEW world title match?
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. That's something they could definitely do. So I think they've already announced that the winner of the battle royal is going to face the winner of Jericho and Omega for their first world title match. So that is something you could definitely do. That would be interesting too, because I've kind of viewed Hangman Page as the guy that they want to be their world champion in a year or two, not necessarily the guy they want to be their world champion right away. I've always thought that Jericho or Omega are the two guys that would make sense, I think, to be their first world champion. Jericho has the most marketable name. So it would be interesting if they put Hangman in that spot right away, because my idea with him was always that, hey, he's their, I think he's 25 years old, 26 years old. He's their guy that when he's 28, we're giving him the ball and he's going to run with it, but we want to build him up over the next 2 years. So I don't know what you do with him. I thought at the same time when they were first teasing the Pac Hangman Page match back at the introductory press conference, a lot of people thought that was going to be a world title match on the show.
Yep, and I thought that they were going to trend that way, and then they were going to make some sort of announcement being like, yeah, we've decided that these two are going to fight for our championship. Do you think that Jericho would get their world championship in the short term? Because he's probably not going to be around for as long as, you know, the other names that we've mentioned.
That's a great point, yeah. I do think he's in their plans to be kind of the immediate world champion, because, like you said, he's an older guy. You know, I think he's on a 3-year deal, so he's not going to be there forever. You know, he's not 28 years old. He's not 30 years old. He's in his mid to late 40s, I think. So he's not going to be around there forever. Also, as being their first world champion, I mean, Chris Jericho's a name that people know. You know, WWE fans know who Chris Jericho is. But even entertainment people know who Chris Jericho is. Chris Jericho could get on, you know, any podcast. He could get on late night talk shows as an interview piece. And I think that he's a guy that would get them exposure. Also, if they're trying to pull in some of the WWE fans that might not know who what AEW is. I mean, diehard wrestling fans know what AEW is. That's not a large segment of the audience. I think people sometimes overestimate how many wrestling fans are hardcore wrestling fans. They know about WWE and New Japan and Ring of Honor and all these different companies. There's a huge, huge, vast majority segment of the audience that is just that we're WWE fans, and that's what we watch. So I think by putting the title on Chris Jericho, that's a guy where when that news gets around, one of those people, you know, one of those fans could say, hey, I might check this out. I obviously know who Chris Jericho is. Whereas if you put the title on Omega first, those fans are going to go, who's Kenny Omega? Yeah, I've heard this name, but I don't really know who he is. Every wrestling fan is going to know Chris Jericho. So in the short term, kind of in the immediate, who's going to win their first world title? Jericho is the one that makes the most sense to me, because he's going to bring in the most amount of people, the wrestling fans, and he's also a name that people outside of wrestling are going to know, and I think it's going to get him some exposure.
Short-term and long-term goals, what do you think they are for All Elite Wrestling?
Short-term, I think, is to obviously have a good show tomorrow night and then hit the expectations of whatever TNT has for them in the fall. I think that's going to be their immediate focus. If they try to take too big of a swing too early, I think they're going to get themselves in trouble. That's what happened with TNA, for example. TNA right now is the biggest blown opportunity probably in the history of wrestling. They had great television. They had a really good talent roster. When you look at all those guys that were with TNA in the mid-2000s that are now with WWE, they had a great chance to be a strong competitor to the WWE, but they tried to do too many things too soon. They went live. They went on Mondays. They rented out big arenas that they couldn't fill. They took too big of a step before they were ready to do it. AEW, I think, in the short term, needs to focus on you want a good debut, and then whatever conversations they've had with TNT, and we don't know what those are, but whatever those expectations are, you need to hit those expectations so that you can stay on their network. That's going to be the short-term goal. Just do what our television partner wants us to do so we can stay on TV, because that's going to make or break them. Then in the long term, I think they need to be methodical in their decision-making. I don't think they can grow too big because, like I said, we've seen companies do that, TNA being the biggest one, that grew too fast or tried to grow too fast, and they didn't have the resources to do it. AEW has more financial resources than TNA ever had with the Khan's family money behind them. I think the initial investment was $100 million. I'm not sure TNA ever had that much money, even when the Carter family owned the company. But they need to make sure they can't be stupid with that money. Just because they have it doesn't mean they can make poor financial decisions. They are set up and prepared for financial losses over the first two or three years, which I think is good because that needs to be the expectation. But at some point, the Khan family is going to need the company to make money. I don't think you're going to see them stick around for 10 years losing money every year. So the long-term goal, I think, is to grow at a reasonable pace, build around their younger guys, and then just stick to what their mission is. Like, they've talked about how they want to differentiate themselves and kind of what they want their product to look like. I hope, and we'll see when they get weekly television, if they're able to do this, I hope that they're able to stick to that as much as possible and not have to deviate from it too much, because the ideas that they have to make it feel more like a pro sport, I think, will differentiate them from WWE.
Multi-dimensional question here. What's your opinion of the women's division they've put together? Who is really the star of that division? And I know the answer is Tessa Blanchard is under contract, but do we see her make the jump from Impact to AEW at some point?
I think as soon as her Impact contract is up, she'll be with AEW. I think it just makes too much sense. Their women's division, I think, is going to be good. I don't think it's going to be as good as it could be until they're able to get, Tessa Blanchard and Jordynne Grace, I think, just signed a 2-year deal with Impact. So that division might take a while to kind of come to fruition. And I think that'll be a slow build just because the talent depth across wrestling, it's not real. The women's division is not real deep. WWE has a lot of the better women wrestlers obviously signed to longer term deals. There's less women going into wrestling than there are men, so there's less to choose from. I mean, it's not as deep as the men's division for various reasons. Britt Baker, I think, is going to be the star right away coming out of the division, but as the company starts, I think we'll see them kind of grow that division as they go, Tessa Blanchard being the big one. If they can ever get their hands on Tessa Blanchard and make her the centerpiece of their women's division, along with Britt Baker and along with some other people, I think it's going to be a really, really strong division. I think it's going to just take some time to get there.
So who do you think Dusty's favorite was, Cody or Dustin?
You know what? Right now, I think he's got to be pretty damn proud of what Cody's doing. It is kind of funny to watch the similarities between Cody and Dusty. And I mean, here they are both they both run a company. Cody kind of is running his own, even though obviously the Khan family is involved. But yeah, that should be a fun match. The brother versus brother matches can always be tough to get people to buy in. I think Bret and Owen Hart obviously did an awesome job when they feuded in the early to mid 90s, like 94-ish. But it sometimes could be hard. Like, we saw Matt and Jeff Hardy not really work. Broken Universe stuff aside, like when they first feuded in WWE, like in 2009, it didn't really work. People didn't want to see the Hardy brothers fight each other. But I think the way that they've done this, I do think that this will work. Cody versus Dustin, I think that, people are going to be engaged for this match. The one thing I would change about it, like a little fantasy booking, I would have liked to see them bring Dustin in aligned with Cody and then have something that creates the brother versus brother match. You know, you could have had Dustin, like the way I would have probably done it is have Dustin turn on Cody and say, hey, you know what, you know, you think you're, you think you are the top, you know, row. You think you're you're Dustin's favorite, just like you just said. I know you had the T-shirt at the press conference tonight, but you could have done something there where Dustin's jealous of Cody's success and all the stuff he's trying to do with AEW. You could have done something there instead of just kind of throwing the match here on pay-per-view number one. I almost would have liked to see them partner at Double or Nothing and then have something happen in a tag team match that leads to a one-on-one match at the next pay-per-view. But, you know, they did it the way that they did it. I think for reasons that we don't know yet, there's been some rumblings that this might be Dustin's last match and that he may work behind the scenes with AEW. I think we could see that happen down the road. He's another one like Jericho. I think he's even older than Jericho. He might be in his 50s. But another one that doesn't have, you know, a ton of time left as a wrestler. So it's possible that this could be one more time for Dustin and then he works in an executive type role with AEW, or maybe he'll wrestle more as the company goes on TV in the fall. We don't know yet, but I think there's probably reasons why they went into this now and didn't go to it in the fall or anything like that.
Do you want to speculate as to why Cody Rhodes took a shot at Bayley?
Yeah, that was a weird one. I don't know.
Especially considering the fact that Bayley was Dusty's creation, or at least that's how it's always been portrayed.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I don't know. You know, I don't know. And I don't even really have any speculation on why that would be. You know, I don't know. I can't imagine they've had much of a history. I don't even think they would have crossed paths. I mean, she would have been in NXT the entire time he was with WWE. So, no idea.
Mike, thank you so much for taking some time out of your evening and doing a little AEW preview with me. You will do a much better job plugging the Pro Wrestling Torch than I will. So the forum is yours, sir.
Yeah, you can check out all my stuff and everybody's stuff over the Torch at pwtorch.com. We've got a VFT membership over there for if you want to, even more audio analysis and access to the weekly PW Torch newsletter. So you can listen to me and Wade Keller and Todd Martin and Bruce Mitchell and all of us, you know, rant and rave about wrestling on a daily basis. And you can follow me on Twitter at Torch McMahon. So I appreciate the time.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.